for me, I'm hungry to really leave a mark. And a lot of people, they plan their vacation more than they plan their own life. When did they ever plan their life as good as their wedding?
I mean, exactly.
Where do you want to be in 3 years, in 5 years? What's your 500-year goal?
Yes.
You ask them, what kind of legacy do you want to leave behind for humanity? What's your 500-year goal? And they look at you like you're crazy. You have to have a dream to have a dream come true, and you have to have a plan on what you're going to do with all the money once it comes. Otherwise, the money's not going to come if you don't have a plan for it.
Well, this is off to a fun start, huh? This sounds like it could be a fun one. Hey, everybody, this is Brett. Today's August 31st. We begin a new series. Yep, as some of the other series we're currently doing draw to a close, let's get into something new. This one is called The Freedom of Success. And I'm hoping we can include some instructional and inspiring conversations about an array of topics, including taking risk, facing failure, vision, passion, integrity, preparation, perseverance, focus, flexibility, attitude. And I have a huge list of people that I want to bring on for interviews. Most of them pretty liberty-minded folks. A few of them are not. And one of the questions that I really want to pose to those people who are outside of this philosophy is, hey, are you successful because of school or in spite of school? That's not a question I'm going to put to somebody like Jeff Berwick, who's going to say, oh yeah, school sucks, and then we high five. That's predictable. I'm interested in what would some like liberal guy who might wind up in this series have to say about that. And not just a compulsory secondary school. Nobody thinks they're successful because of that. They'd have to be insane. I'm talking about college, even graduate school. Do people feel like that was some great benefit, that that was the best way that they could spend two or four or add it together 6 years of your life? I don't know. I'm looking forward to that. So listen, here's what's important. I really want this to be interactive. When these episodes come out, I'm going to post them in the School Sucks group on Facebook. You should join it if you haven't. I would like to hear names of the people you'd like me to interview. I would like to read questions that you would want me to ask these people. So, you know, let's make this a team effort. That would be greatly appreciated. Hey, speaking of teamwork and appreciation, I want to say a huge thanks to David Chen, who recently bought us our second item off the Amazon wish list. And he bought me not one, but two of them. They are the Naughty Audio MPF6 6-inch pop filters. I've got it on the mic right now. I can shout P-words into this thing now, and I think we're going to be just fine. I'll put a link to that wish list in the show notes if you want to buy us something to support the show. We need a lot of things. And while we're on this subject, I want to just say a quick thanks to everybody who signed up to support the show this month through the AV Club, our bonus content section. I hope you're enjoying your bonus content. And those people are Robert K., Emily and Marshall B., Michael S., David G., Harold O., John D., David J., Allie H., Remy H., no relation, David T., and Dave S. And some of you might be saying, wow, Brett, 11 new people, you must be rich. Well, we have people drop out. I think we lost about 6 people this month, so we're in the black. That's good. But if you can afford to support the show, please do it. SchoolSuckProject.com/AV. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So super excited about getting today's conversation to you. Leading off this series, one of the most interesting and exciting people that I met at the 2014 Porcupine Freedom Festival, the author, entrepreneur, and activist, Joby Weeks. This guy is awesome. One more time, I definitely want your participation. Who do you want me to talk to? What do you want me to ask them? I have an outline for how I want this to go, but obviously your input is paramount. Folks, thank you so much. We're going to try to do at least 2 of these a month. So that's it. I hope you had a nice summer. Here's Joby Weeks.
Hey,
Hey, Joby, thanks for joining me on School Sucks.
Hey, aloha, Brett. I love your show, man.
Thank you. Thanks. So this is the first installment in a series profiling highly successful, liberty-minded people. And to be quite honest, one of the reasons why I wanted to start with you, Joby, is in the time that I spent with you, I thought you had an attitude and a spirit, if you will, that I really enjoyed and I really admired. And I know that that is such a huge part of success, attitude. And I thought that would be a good place for us to start.
Well, they always said your attitude determines your altitude.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, we can go through life looking at all the negative and all what's wrong with the world, or we can go through life looking at all the wrong and saying, hey, there's a lot of opportunity here, and, you know, let's find some solutions. So that's what I like to focus on, are the exciting new technologies and solutions to solve, you know, our problems.
yeah, absolutely. So that being said, I wanted to just go through the projects that you have going on right now. The one that many in my audience would probably be most familiar with, you pioneered a local currency concept in Colorado called Mountain Hours. The idea was to basically, of course, localize currency, empower consumers and small business, and take the money out of the hands of governments and central banks, right?
Yeah, well, when I was climbing, I've been trying to climb the Seven Summits, and I was in a tent on the top of Mount McKinley in Alaska, and I was reading the Liberty Dollar Solution to the Federal Reserve. Mm-hmm. And I had just finished reading The Creature from Jekyll Island, so I was pretty familiar with the Fed and all the problems, but I didn't really know what kind of solutions we should do. And so I contacted Bernard von Nothaus, and he made me the regional currency officer for Colorado. So I'd start getting people on silver and gold, and we're minting all different kinds of coins, et cetera.
Yep.
And I was having a really hard time getting people on gold and silver. They would keep all the gold and stash it in their safe or bury it in their backyard, and they'd spend the Fed notes. I couldn't get them to actually spend the gold and silver because of Gresham's law. Good money chases out bad money. Why would you spend money that's only going to get more and more and more valuable? You want to save that money, right? So, you know, we the Liberty Dollar as a whole minted like $100 million of gold and silver and set up about 20,000 merchants. And it was really difficult, though. And so my friend Wayne came and chatted with me. I had already been to Ithaca, and I saw the Berkshires and the Ithaca Hours, and said, why don't we try an hours thing here in Breckenridge? And I thought, okay, how are we going to do this? And so the idea is that time is money, and time is a commodity. So, you know, they always say, well, silver and gold, those are commodity money, and so they hold value. Well, time is a commodity, and we control it. The banks don't. And we can issue our own currency backed by us, backed by our time. So we created a two-hour note, a one-hour note, a half-hour note, one-tenth of an hour note, et cetera. And so it was a lot easier because I could go to all the merchants around Breckenridge. We got about 100 businesses that accept our money for their goods and services. And we just say, hey, you know, you guys spend, the distillery spends it with the brewery, you spends it with the restaurants, who spend it with the marijuana dispensary, who spend it with the chiropractor and the massage therapist and the lawyer and et cetera. So it just kind of circulates and stays within the community because in Breckenridge, you know, we're a ski town. We get a lot of people during the winter, but no one comes up really in the summer. And so half the businesses have to shut down because, you know, there's not any people and the money gets, we're very dependent on tourism. Let's just put it that way.
So, right.
You know, the idea is to keep the money within the community, kind of creating our own little barter network and doing all this business and all these transactions outside of the banking system. It's really exciting.
Yeah, and you wanted to obviously see this replicated in as many communities as possible.
Yeah, and some people have run with it. I know Clearwater, Florida, by Tampa, they got an hour system, and up in Tennessee and over in the Lakes Hours in Minnesota and Island Hours and Aloha Hours and et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I think it's a good solution for local business. But, you know, ever since Bitcoin came out, and by the way, with ours, we literally had more success in the first 3 months of the Mountain Hours program than I had with 5 years trying to get people to spend gold and silver. So if you really want a viable currency that people will use, take a look at, you know, the hours system. If you're passionate enough to set up your own money system, your own little barter network there, wherever you live. But, you know, with Bitcoin now, you can pay everyone through the phone and it's instant and it's global. Bitcoin's a wonderful way to do business outside of the banking system as well. So I've kind of migrated my focus onto Bitcoin.
And you think that phases out the need for something like mountain hours, or can the two coexist?
Oh, yeah, the two can coexist. I'm for all currencies that we the people control, not the banksters. I'm trying to get people to not be debt slaves to the banks. And, you know, these banks create all this money out of nothing, and they lend it to us at interest. And, you know, you buy a $100,000 house over 30 years, you're paying back $250,000. You know, $150,000 is interest. You're paying more in interest than you even borrowed.
Sure.
I don't think that's right, you know?
Right, absolutely. So your involvement with Bitcoins and the past Mountain Hours project, they were both representative of this mission you have to take on and hopefully destroy the Fed and the central banking cartels. But you also have another modest project going on at the same time where you're taking on the pharmaceutical industry, right?
Well, yeah, those are kind of my three focuses right now, is freeing humanity from being debt slaves to the banks, from the drug cartel, you know, that all these people are hooked on pharmaceuticals. And so I like to focus on prevention, you know, and teaching people how to stay healthy. I actually wrote a book. You can read it at www.defeatdiseases.com. You know, it's a free download. I'm giving it away. You know, it's just, here's what to do. Here's what not to do. And, you know, it's really simple to help people stay healthy and get well, because every 7 years we get a new body.
Right.
So our cells are constantly replicating. You know, there's not a cell in your body that's older than 7 years.
Right.
So that's an interesting thing, because my grandfather's 90 years old, but his body is only 7, you know. So, you know, as long as the cells are healthy, because your cells make healthy tissues, which make healthy organs, which make healthy systems, which eventually makes up a whole healthy body. And so all we have to really do is just focus on what cells need, and we can get everyone off the drugs. Because cells got to be fed, they got to be cleansed, they got to be regulated, they need to be defended and repaired, they have to communicate correctly. And so if you can balance the cell, you know, the body in turn heals and repairs itself. I mean, when you break your arm, it's not like the cast heals you. The cast just holds everything together, bones knit together, body heals itself, you know?
Absolutely. And speaking of wellness, you're also kind of more behind the scenes of the effort to legalize marijuana in Colorado, right?
Well, yeah. Like, so I was a Ron Paul national delegate after the whole 2008 thing. And I went to the convention and got elected and did all that stuff. I actually became vice chair for my county for the Republicans. But then I had to quit and go back to being a libertarian. But what happened was, I had all this time because I made all this money, and I was still really focused on politics, and I was like, I got to do something. So me and a couple of my friends drafted up a petition and stood in front of the bank and the grocery store and the post office collecting signatures for it. It was a ballot initiative to get legalization of marijuana on the ballot. We got it. We got enough signatures, put it on the ballot, and 76% of the town voted yes to legalize marijuana. So Breckenridge became the first town in America to completely legalize marijuana for everybody over the age of 21.
Yep.
So you didn't need to have a medical license in Breck. So then we just took the same petition. We just took it over to the other 64 counties in Colorado, and voila, in 2012. So we did it in Breck in 2010, and 2012 was when we did it in the whole state. So, yeah, we legalized it, and now people can grow their own medicine and get their CBDs, and all types of exciting and new cannaceutical products are being invented at this very moment.
Absolutely. So that effort, the defeatdiseases.com, and the other site is Our Wellness Revolution, are all this second mission of really empowering people to take control of their own health. In addition to taking on some of the stronger, more powerful aspects of the state and the monetary system, you're also working here to make healthy libertarians. So that's fantastic.
Well, absolutely. I mean, instead of fighting them head on, I figure, like Buckminster Fuller says, instead of fighting them, just create a system that makes the old obsolete. And so that's what I'm focused on. I mean, we went and created a bar. It's got all the vitamins and minerals and antioxidants and glyconutrients and phytosterols, the digestive enzymes and probiotics, all the essential oils and fatty acids, everything you need to replicate a new body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so the biggest problem I see humanity facing right now is malnutrition. It's killing 20,000 children a day. 20,000 kids a day die from malnutrition, you know, about 5 million a year. Is that awful?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so needless. I mean, even here in America, I mean, we're the most overfed but undernourished country in the world. We eat a ton of McDonald's and we get the calories, but there's not any kind of nutrition, you know?
Yeah.
So the idea is we got the idea from Tom's Shoes. You know, when you buy a pair of shoes from Tom's, they donate a pair.
Yeah.
So we're doing the same with our bars. So anytime someone buys one of our bars, we donate a bar to an orphan fighting malnutrition. And thus far, we've given away over 30 million servings to more than 250,000 kids mm-hmm. in 80 countries. So we're trying to kind of play off the social entrepreneur aspect and create a mission, because people like to be a part of something bigger than themselves. People like to be a part of a team that has, you know, a positive humanitarian effort behind it. I've been reading a lot on this ALS Ice Bucket Challenge and how much of this $40 or $50 million actually gets to do research on ALS, you know?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, I've had people with ALS, Lou Gehrig's, you know, start consuming our stuff and having great success. I mean, obviously no one's going to live forever. They say that life is a sexually transmitted disease and it's terminal.
Yeah.
So none of us are going to get out alive, but I had a friend, Dave, he got in a car accident, got some ALS, triggered it. I'm not exactly sure. I guess the impact of the car, something happened. And after that, he started dealing with ALS. And, anyways, he went into a class and we were friends with all these other ALS. There's like a support group for ALS patients, you know, and there's like 50 people in that class. And I sat down with him. I said, Dave, you know, your cells, your nerves are made up of cells, you know, same with MS. I've got before and after MRIs with the myelin sheath, you know, where it attacks itself. And now the myelin sheath, it's no longer delaminating. The nerve's no longer exposed. So you're seeing lesions on people's brains going away and stuff, because the body does really replicate itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was telling Dave, hey, try this stuff out. He started taking it. And every single person in his support group died, and he was the only one left living. And unfortunately, about 5 years later, he died too. But I tell you what, it's the quality of life that we have. You know, no one wants to get to 60 and end up in a nursing home and stuck drooling on themselves for the next 20 years. You know,
right.
I want to go out with a bang at 100. You know, I want to have perfect health and then bang, I'm dead. You know,
sure.
So anyways, it's exciting to have solutions. And all we do is support the body's own natural ability to heal and repair itself.
Absolutely. So listen, I know it seems like we're moving a little bit quickly through these things. We're just trying to get an introduction to who you are. And there's one more big one that I also want to talk about. Of course, each one of these things that we've talked about could be its own hour show. But the third project that you're currently working on, getting people off the grid, right?
Well, that's the goal, because when electricity and energy is free, everything else becomes free. Your food is free, your water is free, your transportation is free. Everything becomes free when energy is free. So if you really want to, you know, free humanity and make us all self-sufficient so we're not dependent on the oil cartel and the banking cartel and the pharmaceutical drugs and all this, and you really want to get free and healthy and have lots of money and time to spend with your friends and families and do things that you're really passionate about, you got to get off the grid. And so
yeah.
Right now, the most viable way, I mean, I've seen these magnetic motors and these heat exchangers and these, you know, thorium nuclear power is so cheap and all these cool, you know, neutrinos and carbon nanotubes and all these things are awesome, but there's really nothing that we can really go out and get everybody off the grid yet still. I see these guys building a Tesla tower in Russia. I see a lot of cool things coming in the future, but what can we do right now? And that's why I'm so pumped about Elon Musk. I know some people might not like him, but I really like Elon with what he did with SpaceX and kind of giving NASA some competition.
He's behind Tesla.
He's the founder of Tesla. He founded PayPal. He founded Solar City. And so what I'm trying to do, bro, is bring everything all under one umbrella. And so we just started a company called Elevate, and we want to elevate people out of poverty. We want to rebuild the middle class. And the idea is, we're going to go around and give away solar systems, kind of like how Verizon and AT&T will give you a free iPhone. If you sign a 2-year contract, you get the iPhone for free.
Yeah.
So that's what we're trying to do. I'm here in California this very moment giving away. We just started about 2 weeks ago. And what we do is we offer people, look, we'll give you your first year of energy for free. We'll give you, you know, the solar panels for free, the install will be free, the warranty, the maintenance, all that's free. All you have to do is give me your power bill. If it's over $100 a month, then you qualify. So there's 55 million people in America that qualify for this program that I'm doing, whereas before only 500,000 people have solar. So like we've got like a 1% market penetration right now. So it's quite the opportunity to get people off the grid and onto solar. Now, not everybody's homes qualify. They got weird roofs. Maybe it's in the shade or there's trees or whatever. But you know, here in California, there's 5 million homes that qualify. So I'm trying to go and find those people, give them solar systems. And what I do is I take their power bill and I knock 30 to 40% off their power bill. So it's really cool. Here in California, there's four tiers. So tier one, if you're using very little power, you're paying like 15 cents per kilowatt. If you start using more energy, all of a sudden now you're tier two and you're paying 20 cents per kilowatt hour. You know, you keep consuming more and more. Now you're paying 30 cents at tier three and 40 cents at tier four. Okay. So what I'll do is I'll take someone that's in tier four and I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to throw all these solar panels on your roof. I'm basically going to rent your roof. Hey, do you have a home? Does it have a roof on it? I'm going to rent your roof. I'm going to pay you up to $1,000 a month to rent your roof. And how I do that is I knock them from tier four down to tier one. If I can't completely zero out their bill. So let's say I throw the solar panels on their roof and I become their new energy company now. Okay. And I take their bill. Let's say I had a lady the other day had a $1,200 a month bill. I dropped her bill to $700 a month. So I'm saving her $500 a month, or I'm quote unquote renting her roof for $500 a month. Over 20 years, she's going to save 120 grand, or I'm going to pay her 120 grand in energy credits because I'm now the energy company for her. And the idea is after 20 years, she gets to keep the equipment free and clear. It's hers. It's not a loan. It doesn't go under credit. It just stays with the house. If she wants to sell the house, that's fine. But we guarantee that we'll take 30 to 40% off the person's bill, and then that's what we'll lock them in at. So over the next 20 years, she's going to save $500 a month. You know, even if you only have a $300 bill, it's still worth it because I can knock $100 off, and now you're paying $200 a month instead of $300 a month.
Absolutely.
So that's the idea. Once everything is all digitized, and it's really simple. What we're going to do is expand. The states we're looking at next are Arizona, Oregon, Hawaii, Colorado. We're going to do Massachusetts, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Maryland. So those are the states that we're going to next. And what's pretty cool is we've spent the last couple of years buying up other companies as well, so we could own the platforms for other services people consume. The idea is creating kind of everything through the cloud. Because imagine if you can go in and have a business that is all dialed in and networked globally through satellites, and we could beam down satellite service to the internet, you know, to some dictator's country that's trying to censor his people, you know, we'll just be beaming down. They can tweet each other and overthrow tyrannical dictators and stuff like that. So what we did was we made an agreement with Viasat so we can produce or we can bill through Elevate for satellite internet service and broadband. We bought our own alarm system and smart home security type program where you can control your whole home with your iPhone and stuff from anywhere in the world. You can, you know, turn on and off your lights and open and lock your doors, all that kind of stuff right through your phone. We've got a voice over IP, kind of like Vonage service. We have a cell phone service that we just white labeled T-Mobile and Sprint. So we use the backbone. It's kind of like how Virgin Mobile and Boost have done it. So we've got that too.
Sprint, Ting, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, so Sprint and T-Mobile have allowed us to back. So we're using their network, but we basically can bill the customer for seven services, energy, and then the rest, which I just mentioned. So it's kind of exciting because, you know, say you're a real estate broker, you got some agents. The agents, you know, they're selling homes, and when they sell the home to the new family, hey, welcome to the neighborhood. Here's your first year of energy for free. Oh, you probably need the internet and TV and phone service too, right? So that's kind of the idea is getting people giving away all these services for free, because there's a great book I read by Bob Berg called The Go Giver. And the idea is, you know, karma, the sowing and reaping credits, my wife likes to call it. I like to call them karma points. You start just giving and giving and giving and giving and giving, and all the blessings come back to you, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've heard you talk about that before. You have to help people to ultimately help yourself.
Exactly. The more problems you solve, the more money you make. And the people that aren't making any money aren't solving any problems for people,
right.
You know? And so that's why people say, well, what are you, a libertarian or an anarchist? And I prefer to say, look, I'm a solutionist. Yeah. You know, I like to create solutions for problems that we all are facing and help people get free. So what I'm doing right now is I've created a way for everyone to make money, and this be in an employee-owned company, basically. I'm giving away stock in the company. And when people give away a solar system, I pay them $1,000 for every solar system they give away for free. Unfortunately, it has to be the homeowner you're giving it to. So if you're a renter, you know, you would have to ask your landlord. But if you gave a system to your landlord and he put it on the house, voila, you get $1,000. Plus, I pay a $10 per month residual income for 20 years. So for every system you give away, you get also $10 a month for the next 20 years. So it's a pretty exciting thing. We only just started. We're kind of beta testing it right now with some door knockers. And my friend Caleb gave away 100 systems in about a week, just knocking doors, giving away systems. You know, now I bet 30% of them won't go all the way to install.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say only 70 make it. But $1,000 a pop times 70, you know, he's making 70 grand in a week.
Yeah.
It's $10,000 a day.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you're making great money like that, then he'll have a $700 a month residual income for the next 20 years. When you have that type of money, now you're free. You know, I'm giving away Teslas so you can drive around for free on the sun. You can drive all the way from New York to LA on the sun right now with a Tesla.
Yep.
I mean, he's set up these charging stations all over the place. So, you know, now he can spend time with his family, all this kind of stuff. It's great. You know, when money isn't an issue and you have your health, it's a trifecta. You have your health freedom, your financial freedom, and the time freedom to enjoy both.
Yeah.
And that's the goal.
And those projects between freeing people from central banking, freeing people from the traditional or current and very costly standards of care in medicine, and getting people off the grid. And I think that in what you described as social entrepreneurship, there's also this tremendous benefit to the cause of liberty, right? Because it's showing people that the market can deal with all of these problems that exist in the world.
Yeah, in fact, the market solves all these problems. So the reason that they haven't been solved already is because of government.
Mm-hmm.
Government gets in the way. These companies bribe politicians to pass laws to protect their interests. They block competition, so they make alternatives illegal. I mean, if I could tell you the history of going through, I mean, you had no idea that curing cancer would be such a freaking struggle. I mean, it is absolutely insane how it's been set up, but we're going to definitely change it now that we're in the information age. People get all this knowledge in the palm of their hand and their smartphones. And so now we're really able to level the playing field, and anybody anywhere in the world will be able to become a multimillionaire working with us and being a part of this movement. I mean, we're going everywhere the sun shines. It's not like I have to go get FDA approval in each country when I'm bringing in a solar panel or a cell phone, you know.
Right.
So we'll be expanding globally. We'll all be run through the cloud, and we're gonna pull people out of poverty. Using the market and entrepreneurism, and we're going to use Bitcoin so we can tap into all the markets that have been excluded from the banking system. And so we'll be able to give a percentage of our profits to the social entrepreneur, wipe out global malnutrition cause. We'll get everyone off the grid. We'll get everyone Teslas. We'll get everybody internet from all over the world from the cloud, and pay everyone in Bitcoin and get everybody healthy. So that's kind of the idea, you know?
Yes. So, okay.
It's an exciting future.
Absolutely. So in the first 20 minutes here, we've laid an important foundation that you are doing fantastic and you're very enthusiastic about it. And that's awesome. From there, I wanted to ask you, because I know it's going to be different answers depending on who you ask. What does this word success mean to you?
I think that success is a journey, not a destination. I don't think you can ever, quote unquote, I've arrived,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
To love and be loved is success. And if you try to do that every day, you know, they always say money isn't the most important thing, but it's right up there with oxygen.
Right, right.
You know, money doesn't bring you happiness, but money does buy you time, and time buys you freedom, and freedom buys you happiness. So in a way, if we can help all of our friends become filthy, sick, and rich, now they can start bankrolling all these great projects, these documentaries, events, sponsoring shows like yours.
Yeah.
It takes money to do all that. And I think our movement needs to start you know, focusing on becoming entrepreneurs and not being wage slaves, working for someone else, trading time for money. You can never get ahead that way. Profits are better than wages. And so if you're doing anything that doesn't involve making money via profit, you gotta change your focus and start looking, okay, well, what kind of opportunities? Do I want to help Joby and start giving away solar systems? Could I get passionate about that? Could I get passionate about, you know, getting people healthy? And then do what you're passionate about, but find a way to create passive residual income so that you don't have to be dependent on a boss who could cut you off at any time, you know?
Absolutely. You brought up so many good things there that I want to get into, but I want to ask you this first. Now, you're 33?
Yeah, I just turned 33 2 days ago.
Okay. So there's this book out there that you wrote called Secrets of a 20-Year-Old Millionaire. You've been at it for a while. When did you first consider yourself a success? Was it when you first realized that you had this passive residual income? Did you ever have a job? So many questions, but let's just start there. When was it that you said, wow, this is working? I've figured it out and I'm on my way.
Well, I would say that when my passive income was greater than my expenses,
yeah,
that's when I realized I was free. That didn't take very long at all. Most people could get by with, you know, if they had $2,500 a month in residual income, $2,500 to $5,000 a month in residual income, that would free them. They could quit their job. They don't have to worry about their mortgage and their payments, and now they're free. And so when that happened for me, I thought, well, if I'm going to die at the end of the year, what would I want to accomplish before I die? And so I would go out and do it that year. And then I'd come New Year's. When everyone's writing their New Year's resolutions, I'm writing a list of, okay, if I die by this time next year, what is it that I want to accomplish before I die?
Mm-hmm.
And so I would do that year after year after year, and then I would set forth to checking all these things off the list. And so it's, I guess you could call it a bucket list.
Yeah.
And so that's basically what I did. I said I wanted to travel around the world, so I decided, you know, okay, I'm going to go. So I took off for 6 years, and I went to 110 countries. And went and climbed mountains and worked on, I'm still working on sailing around the world and all these kind of fun things. I've climbed 5 of the 7 summits, so I haven't accomplished that yet, but put down about 50 of Colorado's 14,000 foot peaks, and just doing things that are challenging and exciting and gets your heart beating a little bit faster. I know some people were like, I would never skydive. Why jump out of a perfectly good airplane? But for me, because it's exciting. That's why you do it, you know? So why not? I mean, why climb the mountain? Because it's theirs.
Yeah.
So for me, and everybody has a different why. And so you just find out your why and then you go do it. It's kind of like when the why is strong enough, the how-to doesn't matter. And I read a really good book called If How-To's Were Enough, we'd all be skinny, rich, and happy.
Yeah.
You know, everybody knows the how-to's. Everyone knows how to do a sit-up. So why are there so many fat people if everybody already knows how to do a sit-up, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's not the how-tos. Everyone, oh, teach me how to do this. Oh, teach me how to do that. No, that does not matter. What matters is your why. Is your why strong enough? Oh, I want success. I just want the TV a little bit more, you know?
Right.
And so that's what I would suggest people do is when your why is strong enough, it's kind of like, you know, walking across the room. You could walk across the room. You could crawl across the room. You could somersault across the room. You can moonwalk across the room. There's 1,000 different ways to get from point A to point B. The point is just, when there's 1,000 ways to become a millionaire. And so the point is just find out what your why is and then do it, and you'll have the success as well.
So then passion is important to you, right? I've heard you say that in some of your interviews before. You could become a millionaire 1,000 different ways today. But is passion really essential, or do you think for some people only the opportunity matters, only being able to position yourself in front of a trend and go from there? Can this work without passion, or do you need passion?
You have to have the right vehicle, like you said. You got to position yourself in front of trends, and you want to focus on unique proprietary products that are consumable. And so it's kind of like if you want to go to outer space, you can't buy a Ferrari and drive there. You have to take a spaceship. You know, it's the wrong vehicle. And a lot of people are like, I want to be a millionaire, but I'm going to go trade time for money and work down at the post office.
Yeah.
Right. You'll never be a millionaire working at the post office or whatever.
Right.
The point is it's the wrong vehicle. And if you really want to find financial independence, you want to focus on doing things that, like I said before, create passive residual income that are positioned in front of trends, et cetera. And then you'll do it. And that's why I think, I mean, Warren Buffett said, look, the largest transfer of wealth in human history will take place in energy deregulation.
Yeah.
There's nothing bigger.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm focused on getting everyone off the grid, because when I first tried doing this, we created a company called Independence Energy Alliance and IEA. And what happens is this company, NRG, owned us. We were a subsidiary of NRG. And what happened was we got 100,000 customers and we were getting everyone onto clean, green energy. So solar, wind, hydroelectric. But what would happen was we'd be in Arizona producing all the solar power there from a huge solar array, and then we would sell the credits to people up in Connecticut and Massachusetts and then tell them, hey, look, you're now getting green energy, mm-hmm. even though they're getting nuclear power and it's not really green. It's kind of like if you put a $100 bill in a Chase account in California and you pull out $100 in New York, you know, it's just a credit swap. It's not obviously the same $100 bill. You know what I'm saying?
So. Yeah.
Same with the energy production. So we went and got 100,000 customers, and everyone was still a slave to the grid. And people didn't care whether it was solar, wind, hydroelectric, or coal, or nuclear, or whatever. They're a slave, stuck on the grid, paying $300 a month regardless, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that didn't vibe with me very well. And then what happened was Buffett came in, bought $1.8 billion worth of energy, $900 million in cash, $900 million in stock, and they built the world's largest solar array down in Arizona. And then they used the cash to go acquire a company called OnGen, and the Energy OnGen merger happened, making NRG the biggest power producer in North America. And after that happened, Goldman Sachs went in and bought NRG. And the first thing they did was they killed Independence. They killed Independence Energy Alliance, our company.
Yeah.
Stole all 100,000 customers from us. So I got totally jacked. That was like my $250,000 a month deal that I was so excited about having, because I still haven't gotten myself up to six figures a month yet. That's what I'm pushing for. And so I decided, instead of, you know, building a solar array that produces power for 20,000 homes and keeping everybody slaves to the grid, how about I give away solar systems to all 20,000 homes individually? And so then if they ever try to screw me, they can't, because now everybody's got their own solar system and they're not stuck on the grid. And, you know, 3 or 4 years from now, once the battery bank technology is a little bit better, we'll be able to go back to everybody, because technically it's a grid tie system. So during the day, all the sun hits the panels and they send it to the grid during the day, and at night they pull from the grid.
Yeah.
My goal is to go back to everybody I'm giving these solar systems to and say, hey, I'm going to give you guys some battery banks now and throw these banks in your garage, and now all of a sudden clip from the grid and just have your own bank of batteries, and then you're totally self-sufficient and free. So this is step one. We're giving away all these grid tie systems. Step two is to go back and upsell everybody to the battery banks. So
right.
That's the way to beat guys like NRG and, you know, the OnGens and Goldman Sachs of the world that want to keep everybody enslaved to the grid, you know?
Yeah. Let's jump back to NRG for a minute there and talk about difficulties. That was certainly one that you described, especially when, you know, there's a lot of capital that gets lost when something like that happens. Do you feel like you've had to deal with a lot of that? And how do you recover from those kinds of setbacks?
It's hard to recover,
yeah.
But you got to keep a positive attitude. I mean, so yeah, you know, success leaves clues. There's no billionaires that got there without losing it all a couple times. And definitely I've had my own setbacks. I mean, with Liberty Dollar, let's say, we had minted tons of Ron Paul coins, and all of a sudden the feds came in and stole them all. $5 million worth of gold, silver, platinum, and copper coins. They just stole from us. You know, that was a setback. You know, I had a little girl with inoperable brain tumor, and she started taking her products and refused chemotherapy and radiation, and her tumor went away. And she went on national television, 2020 and all this, and she's like, look, I didn't do chemo and radiation. I took this stuff. It cured my cancer. My tumor was gone. Here's the before and after MRIs. Next thing we know, we've got a class action lawsuit, and the attorney general's trying to shut us down. It cost us $5 million. To fight.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, in all of these deals, I mean, NRG jacked me for the energy. The government stole, you know, our Ron Paul things and my Bitcoin. I had a bunch of Bitcoin on Silk Road, and they took the Silk Road, and there goes my Bitcoin, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, at every turn, it's really not, you know, private individuals that are pirates. It's the government. that they're the pirates,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's why I always say, like, if government would just get out of the way and let us freaking handle our own problems ourselves, you know, it's so much more efficient, you know? I mean, there wouldn't be FedEx and UPS if the government did stuff correctly, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it's not just them coming after you directly. It's also, for so long, so many of us have been under the systems that they've set up that are obviously inefficient and or just totally not designed to serve us, like the one that I do a show about, you know?
Yeah.
So why don't we move from there, since I mentioned school, into education and more importantly, self-education. I've heard you talk about a series of books that you've read, and two of the three I've read as well. And because I've heard you mention them in several different discussions, I wanted to just kind of go into each one briefly and maybe extract some of the lessons. The first one is by Robert Kiyosaki, and it's called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I read it in 2005. When I was done, I said, I don't want a job. I had a job at the time. I said, I'm done filling out W-2s. And, you know, I didn't really become an entrepreneur. I wound up starting a small, like, tutoring company years later. But I knew that after reading that book, and I think that's the most important takeaway from that book, right? Like, you don't want to be an employee if you can avoid it.
Yeah, absolutely. His books definitely changed my life. You know, his book, Retire Young, Retire Rich, mm-hmm. that was an exciting one to read since I was, you know, I was 18 when I read the first Rich Dad, Poor Dad book. His Guide to Investing, The Cash Flow Quadrant, all those books are fabulous. The Business School is excellent. The Perfect Business. Those are my two favorites because they talk about network marketing where people can get in and for small money, 25, 50, 100 bucks, they can start their own business from home and with sweat equity build themselves an empire without having to have millions and millions of dollars of capital to start their companies, you know? So network marketing is what I really took a keen look on and figured, okay, this is a great way for someone broke like me, a high school kid, to go out and make millions of dollars, which is what I decided to do. And that's why I wrote that book and CD series called Secrets of a 20-Year-Old Millionaire to help people in Gen Y, you know, the millennials, the youngsters like us, mm-hmm. to go out and become entrepreneurs and say, yeah, you know, back in the industrial age, the principles that you guys teach worked, but we're not in the industrial age. We're in the information age. Yet you guys here at the school system are still teaching us crap we're never going to use, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, and believe me, my dad was a teacher, so I grew up in the school system pretty heavily. And luckily, he was in a private school, so there was, you know, the standards were a lot higher than the normal schools. But still, I mean, they were still teaching some outdated stuff that, you know, that didn't apply, you know. And if we really want to have success, we can't rely on other people. We need to go out and do it ourselves, be responsible for our own education, and no one's going to do it for us. We got to go out and do it ourselves. The whole entitlement mentality won't work. And as we're seeing right now all over the place, you know, it's collapsing. The whole system is collapsing, and people are going to have to go out and actually, you know, make it happen. So I would say don't let the actions of other people determine your success. A lot of people, oh, I don't know if I can do this. They told me no. My God, I just look at it like if you're a waiter or waitress at a breakfast joint, the Waffle House, let's say, mm-hmm. and you're going around. Hey, you want some coffee? Sure. You want some coffee? Sure. You want some coffee? No. You want some coffee? Sure. You want some coffee? No. You know, when someone tells the waitress, hey, I don't want any coffee, she doesn't go and cry in the back, oh, my God, I can't be a waitress anymore. It's so hard because they told me no. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? No, she doesn't care whether they want coffee or not. She's just offering it. Do you think I care if someone wants to stay a wage slave and working for someone else and never getting ahead and trading time for money and having a stressful life? And I mean, 96% of the problems that people, you know, have, 96% of the stress or whatever the quote is surrounded by lack of money or lack of health.
Yeah.
And if you can solve those two problems, 96% of the issues humanity faces goes away. And so if I offer someone, hey, I'm going to pay you $1,000 to go give away solar systems with me. Every system you give away, you make $1,000. It literally costs the customer nothing. And this person tells me no, I don't care. I've got 100,000 other people that are going to tell me yes, and they're going to go give away the solar systems with me, and they're going to make millions of dollars. We have a promotion for the free Tesla that's going from now until Christmas, whereas if you build a team of 5 sales guys and you help them do the same, so a total of 30 people, 5 who tell 5, a total of 30 people, and all those 30 people give away 10 solar systems between now and Christmas, you get $100,000 cash and you get a Tesla with a team of 30.
Wow.
Now, if you don't want that, that's fine. I don't care. But I have a lot of people out there that want Teslas. And I can't think of an easier way to get a Tesla than what I just described. You're literally getting paid to give something away for free.
Right.
And it's something that we can all vibe with. I mean, who doesn't want to get off the grid? So it's easy.
Sure. Okay. So let's talk. We talked a little bit through Rich Dad, Poor Dad about the lack of a financial education. But I think a lot of it also, it's not just like not knowing what to do to make money. It's a lot of things that are going on inside us, right? It's attitude. It's the stress of risk. It's not knowing what to do, not having the confidence to do those things. I mean, I know a lot of people who make plenty of money as employees, but they're enslaved, right? I just think that they're competent in their job and maybe they even enjoy their job. But I mean, it's not just the money, it's also the benefits, right? Because they think that is the answer to security and health, is having that paycheck and having those benefits. So maybe it would actually be good to talk about another one of these books by Napoleon Hill called Think and Grow Rich, which I think is really about maybe overcoming some of the attitudes that stop people from succeeding, right?
Think and Grow Rich was one of the best books I've ever read. And just so much truth in there. The mind is everything, you know. Rich people think differently. You know, focusing on just, hey, how can I help you? Talking less, listening more. And, you know, questions are the answer. So find out what it is that people want and then formulate what you're going to offer to what it is that they want. Mm-hmm. You know, so ask questions, find out what their hot buttons are. Yeah, people aren't taught how to effectively communicate. There's another one called How to Win Friends and Influence People. Learn how to effectively communicate and ask questions and then become financially literate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people are financially illiterate. It's not like the school system is going to teach you how to become an entrepreneur and a millionaire. They're going to teach you how to be a cog in the machine.
Yeah.
Like Pink Floyd says,
yep.
You know,
yep. Absolutely.
Another brick in the wall.
Yep.
You know, instead of being another brick in the wall, which is what the system is set up for. I mean, you know how the Rockefellers set it up. They're like, we need more wage slaves to run our businesses. They always say the A-plus students work for the companies that the B students run, that the C students own. You see?
Yeah.
So the better, it really is a problem. Like, the better the person's grades were, kind of the more they bought the lie, hook, line, and sinker, you know?
Yeah, the more they conformed.
Exactly.
Yeah, the more they obeyed. So in Think and Grow Rich, one of the key principles, I mean, he goes through, like, I think, ultimately 13 steps in the book. But one of the key principles we already covered, knowing clearly where we want to go. The other one that he talks about, and I'd like to hear you speak on this, is the mastermind principle.
So I would say, you know, find out who around you is where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself a mentor. And, you know, they say that your income is within 10% of your 5 closest friends. If you want to be successful, you can't just hang out like with financially illiterate people at the homeless shelter. You need to go and join a networking group and go to various, events where you can go and meet movers and shakers and people that are where you want to be. And then Take them to lunch. That's what I would say. And that's what I actually did, is I found people that were really great network marketers and wanted to know how they were such good, effective communicators and how persuasive they were. And I would sit down and ask them questions.
Yeah, I think there's like a difficult emotional barrier to break through there for some people. That's at least worth recognizing, right? Like, I have friends who are very wealthy and I have friends who are not. And, you know, we all will go out to eat together, right? And I found that sometimes, like in periods where I feel like I'm struggling in the past, it can be frustrating to be around those people. right? Because they just have a set of problems that I long for, you know? And there's, and I know I'm not just talking about myself and my own past experience. And obviously I recognize that this is, you know, not a good practice, but surrounding yourself with people who are also struggling can be comforting. And I think that's why, you know, cops hang around with cops and heroin addicts don't hang around with joggers, you know, because they want to be comforted by the company that they keep. So that is a difficult emotional barrier to break through and to recognize the importance of trying to surround yourself with successful people.
And you know what? When you start doing it, your friends are going to be, it's kind of like the crabs in the boiling water that will pull their friends back down when they're trying to escape, mm-hmm. you know?
Sure.
Oh, I got a great one. There was a study done where these five monkeys, there's a ladder and there's a bunch of bananas at the top. And so what happens is the monkeys would see these bananas run after them. The scientists would take a freaking fire hose and spray these monkeys down. So knock them over. So anytime they got near the ladder, they get hit with water, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they started rotating these monkeys out. So they'll throw a new monkey in that's never been sprayed, but the other four monkeys have been sprayed, right? The new one sees the bananas, runs after them. The four monkeys tackle the guy because they don't want to get sprayed. Right?
Yeah.
So the guy gets up, runs towards the bananas again. The other four monkeys tackle him. Okay, so they rotate another one out, you know. New monkeys in, looks at the bananas, goes after the bananas. The other four monkeys tackle him. So they rotate all these monkeys out. Pretty soon you got all five monkeys. They're all tackling each other. None of them are going for the bananas. And none of them have ever been sprayed.
Yep.
They don't know why. You know, and that's how humans are. Humans act that way. They surround themselves with their friends. They start telling their friends their dreams and goals and aspirations. Oh, I want to do this and I want to do that. Oh, you could never do this or that. Or, oh, don't you want to come to the party with me instead of going and reading that book or whatever it happens to be? And so you'll start making your friends uncomfortable because you're changing and growing and they're not. And so all of a sudden your friends are going to start feeling very uncomfortable around you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're just eventually going to have to realize, I got to go get a new set of friends. I love these guys. They were in my life for a period, and now I can bless them and move on. And some of them will come with me, and some won't. And, you know, just love whoever comes across. Timing is a lot for people, too. So don't burn bridges and make people feel stupid. Because in 6 months from now, they might come back to you and say, you know, I've been thinking, or, you know, I just saw you take that trip to Hawaii, and I want a vacation too. How'd you get that Tesla?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they'll come back. They'll come back to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you just be friendly and offer, and like the person offering coffee, and some will, some won't. So what?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and I think we all know what that's like too, from trying to talk about certain aspects of politics or philosophy or parenting with people, right?
Yep.
When, like, okay, we're moving on beyond what everybody does and what everybody thinks is okay. And that can be very threatening for people. And unfortunately, in that case, because maybe some of the rewards are more long-term, a lot of the things we're talking about, it's kind of a long game, you know, politically or philosophically, or even with respect to parenting, even though there would be, through more peaceful parenting, short-term rewards. But with money, with success, the results can be much more immediate. And you're right, people might come back and say, hey, I'm curious, what did you do? Because I remember when you were in a not so good a situation.
That's absolutely true.
Also on the show, we talk a lot about habits. I did a series about a year ago on stress-free productivity. And one of the questions that I wanted to ask everyone in this series is, do you have practices or rituals that you incorporate into a daily or a weekly routine? I know one thing that I would think as being very challenging that you're immersed in is the managing of multiple projects that really aren't related to each other, but they all are happening at once. So what would you say about habits? What's important to you? What do you do?
Well, I guess my main habit would be brushing my teeth and showering.
Great.
It's to smile a lot, to greet people and look them in the eye and, you know, just be present, not always thinking in the past or the future, and, not always thinking about how I'm going to respond, but to really hear people. And, you know, in terms of delegation, I try to delegate the best I can. Sometimes people overpromise and underdeliver, and that's just part of the cost of doing business, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And And so, yeah, I mean, it is difficult. No one can get to $1 billion by themselves. You have to build a team of core people and mentors and surround yourself with about four or five other people and bounce your ideas off of them and let them give you feedback before you just go off and do something. Because straight up, you could be the one that's crazy.
Sure.
So the idea is surround yourself. Don't do everything alone. I know people in this movement are fiercely independent, and so they'll go off and they'll have an idea, and they won't tell anybody their idea, and they'll go and try to do it, and turns out it was the dumbest idea ever, and they were freaking crazy, and they just wasted a bunch of money, and now they're stuck again.
Yeah.
You know, so take your ideas, come from the abundance mindset, get out of the competitive mind and into the creative mind. There's a great book called The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace D. Wattles. Go read that book, The Science of Getting Rich, and realize that, you know, you got to build a tribe of people that have the same values and goals. That's what I'm trying to do with Elevate, is create a movement, a tribe. We're not quite ready to launch our movement yet. We're kind of putting the groundwork here. Our pre-launch starts in October, but our real launch is going to be in March at the base camp of Mount Everest. So March 2015, that's when the movement's going to start for us, where we've got everything under one umbrella and we've got everything delegated. We got the call center handling all the customer service issues, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, not everybody can be an entrepreneur. I'm only working with the entrepreneurs, but some people, they just want their check, and that's fine. That's what makes them happy, and we need those types of people. If everybody did what we did, who would mow our lawns? Who would pump our gas, mm-hmm. you know? So not everybody can do this. We need flight attendants. We need pilots, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, and I'm not trying to speak down to those people. That's what they want to do, and that's what makes them happy. That's great. But for me, I'm hungry to really leave a mark. And a lot of people, they plan their vacation more than they plan their own life. They plan their wedding or whatever. I mean, you've seen these people sending their invitations out for their wedding and this and that and the flowers and dresses and blah, blah, blah. When did they ever plan their life as good as their wedding? I mean, what's your goal? Where do you want to be in 3 years, in 5 years? What's your 500-year goal?
Yes.
You ask them, what kind of legacy do you want to leave behind for humanity? What's your 500-year goal? And they look at you like you're crazy. Well, you don't have a 500-year goal? Okay, well, why don't you make one of those? I mean, you have to have a dream to have a dream come true, and you have to have a plan on what you're going to do with all the money once it comes. Otherwise, the money's not going to come if you don't have a plan for it. So I would say the law of attraction is huge. Focus on what it is you want, not what it is that you don't want. And then manifest, stick around positive and uplifting and happy people that are going out on a mission to change the world for the better and free humanity. And if you're part of that, you're part of my tribe. And I'll help you. I'll walk with you. I'll be your mentor.
Yeah.
And work with you. So I tell you what, man, the future is so bright. I know it's passé, the future is so bright, you got to wear sunglasses, but it literally is so exciting. So I'm pumped.
Absolutely. You know, we've been critical of the documentary and the book about the law of attraction on my show, The Secret. But I think there's some really valuable lessons in there about having the right attitude and being open to success and being a positive thinker. You know, we talk about people who are in the right place at the right time for an opportunity for wealth. And I think a lot of us say, well, good for him. Lucky him, you know? But that's really about attitude. It's about readiness. It's about planning. It's about, you know, being oriented towards the positive. It's not magic. Those are habits, right? Just like making Yep. those plans and making those goals are habits as well. So last question, and this is one that I want to put to everybody who's going to be in this series. Joby Weeks, 33 years old. What do you consider to be your greatest accomplishment to date?
Getting my wife, Stephanie, to say yes and marry me.
Very nice. Very nice.
It wasn't that much of a struggle, but I would say that that's probably the happiest and most important thing is having friends and family that love you and a caring and loving wife that, you know, puts up with the ADD-ness. I mean, when I met Stephanie, you know, she was cleaning my teeth. I had cavities, you know, she wanted to talk. I couldn't talk. My mouth was open. I have all this crap in my mouth, you know?
Yeah.
And, from that point on, it's been an absolute joy because, you know, when I went traveling around, I was by myself. It was me and my video camera, you know, and I'd meet people along the way, but I never really had anybody to share the memories with. And So when I met her and she said she liked to hike and go skiing and all these scuba diving, all these fun things, I thought, oh, well, this is exciting. I can do all the things I like to do with someone and build some memories. And so I finally got up the courage to ask her to marry me, and we had a great wedding out at the Atlantis in the Bahamas. I didn't even have to wear shoes, and she didn't even care that I didn't wear a tuxedo to our wedding. And from that point on, we went on a 3-year honeymoon to 60 countries, and I got to experience all these great things. And she went from, you know, planning every 15 minutes the day out, you know, cause she had to be with this dentist and had the scheduling and all this kind of stuff, and, you know, going around with two huge suitcases to one huge suitcase to a suitcase and a carry-on to just a carry-on. It's really cool to watch her morph into a more go-with-the-flow type being that isn't so uptight about always having a schedule and being able to just go through doors that open. And when opportunity leads this way, we go. And when roadblocks come up, we head this way. And kind of being able to live in the flow and have the faith that it will always work out. Mm-hmm. And no matter what happens, we still have each other, and that's all we need. And so I would say that's what brings me, family brings me my greatest sense of fulfillment and success, if you will.
Yeah, that's a beautiful answer. And I just want to point out that you got to know this woman by exposing a cavity-filled mouth to her.
You never know. She said, I asked her on a date. She's like, you got to fix your teeth first. I was like, what? She's like, yeah, periodontal disease is contagious or whatever. I'm like, oh, goodness. So I actually had to go back into the dental office like 4 more times.
Well, I really, really appreciate the time. This has definitely been a wonderful and inspiring conversation. I hope we can have more of them in the future. And I just want to reiterate that I really enjoyed meeting you back in June. And I wish you the best of luck, because all of these projects that you're working on are just massively important.
Yeah, thank you, bro. I can't wait to see you again. It was a lot of fun at Porkfest. If you guys want more information on the solar project I'm working on, if you go to www.elevate.solar. So it's elevate.solar. There's no .com. I just realized that there's now .solar website. So elevate.solar, and you can check it out and see what we're doing. And hit me up. I'll call you back and answer any questions you might have, and we can rock and roll.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Awesome, Brett. Thanks, buddy.